Hi folks, welcome to the A Minute to Midnight show. I'm coming to you from New Zealand at the moment, though I will be in Pennsylvania after this one for a while, so this will be my last New Zealand show for a little while. And with me on the show, I have a first-time guest, Tom Hughes from California. So it's nice to have someone different and to, you know, cover perhaps a bit of a different topic. So welcome, Tom.
Thanks, Tony. Great being with you.
Yeah, I guess we should have done this a long time ago, but anyway, here we are. So I understand that through a friend, you're going to be coming to a conference in New Zealand in February with a few different speakers, which could be interesting. Perhaps you could briefly tell our listeners who you are and then just a quick overview on that conference.
Sure. There's five other speakers that are traveling with me. We're going to be in Australia, February 2 and 3, and then we're going to be in New Zealand, February 5. It's going to be fantastic. And each of us deal with current topics. I deal with globalism a lot and what the globalists are up to and climate laws, because I think the climate laws personally are evil. I think there's climate lies is what I would personally call them. And they are manipulating society, and the masses of people are falling in line. There's divisions that are created. There's all kinds of, I believe there's all kinds of psyops that are going on. And anyways, so we all have different messages. We all have a different niche, but we all are going the same direction and alerting people. Now, it is based on what the Bible says about what's going to come in the last days. And the Bible is it's predictive. Every prophecy of the past has been fulfilled, as the Bible tells us. And the Bible gives us a lot of prophecies that are coming in the future. And these things are converging. As we look at things that are happening right now, it's hard to look at things and say, you can't say this is just a coincidence. Mm. I mean, you can tell what's going on. You can tell the economies are being collapsed. We know our freedoms are being removed. We can see these things. In fact, I'll be honest with you, Tony. The contact that I have in Australia, I've gotten to know him over the last few years because of the content that I deal with. And he's become a good friend. And I said, hey, just tell me, are we going to get arrested when we get off the plane, knowing the kind of things that we're going to be talking about? So, you know, it's like, you know, we push the envelope. And I've talked a lot about Australia and New Zealand, like Canada, and I've looked at both those areas, Australia, New Zealand, and Canada, all three of those areas as being areas that these globalists, I believe, were using as guinea pigs. But the great news is I noticed also in New Zealand, you have some leaders in New Zealand are pushing back against some of the insane things. I saw that just the other day with the international health regulations. Mm-hmm. You know, finally, we have some leaders, and in New Zealand, which is great. I mean, the people in Canada are just being destroyed, just destroyed. And so I was just delighted to know that. So I feel confident, not going to be arrested in New Zealand. It looks like there's some resistance that's continuing to build in Australia. And so we're bringing these messages, and I'm looking forward to it. Can't wait. I've never been there before, so looking very forward to it.
Yeah, well, the conference is in Auckland, which is obviously the largest city in New Zealand, and so that'll be good. But yeah, as far as our government goes, it is interesting because we've had 6 years of a socialist government, pretty much, and thank goodness they're gone. But I don't trust politicians and politics, and I always think the globalists have got another Hegelian dialectic motive behind things. But at least at the moment, we do, like you say, suddenly we have some people in our parliament that are saying, you know, we got to review these things. We've got to view what happened in the last pandemic. We've got these WHO regulations. If they're going to impinge on our sovereignty, we've got to look at it. Various other things, the climate stuff. But we'll see if it actually results in any real changes. I mean, see, now I think our previous government, you know, were pushing for no oil and gas exploration and all that here. Suddenly this one is saying, well, we're going to start looking, exploring for oil and gas again and things like that. So it's interesting, but our media is still very biased, unfortunately, the mainstream media, as it is in America. You know, I'm already noticing that they're taking the side of the opposition party more than the government so far already, and they've only been in office a few days.
Well, it's you know, I look at what's happening here in America, and I didn't know that about your oil and gas situation there. I mean, because we have the insane politics of the insane man Biden. And I think, you know, I mean, you guys, everybody in the world, nobody can look at that guy and think he's in his right mind.
No.
I mean, you can't. So obviously he's controlled. He's a very easy person to manipulate. The vice president of the United States is about as dumb as a box of rocks. I mean, you look and you go, how can these people be leading this country? Well, they're not.
Yeah.
They're puppets. Yeah. And like you, I don't trust, I like government. I just don't trust them. I mean, I think there's controlled opposition. You got both sides going on. Well, both sides are being played. You know, I don't trust them. You look at what the government has been doing. You look at the lies that we've been sold. Tony, you mentioned the Hegelian dialectic. I believe that we are living in it.
Yeah.
And, I'll just share this quick illustration about that. To help people understand, if anybody out there doesn't know exactly what it is, but it's basically you create a disaster and then you sell people a solution is what you really do, but you have two opposing views is what you really have. And the intent isn't for you. If you're saying this is just absolute insanity, they know you're not going to believe this over here. So you're over here. And they just want you to come to, this is the point they want to get you to. So they're going to bring you to here and you're going to go, we got what we wanted. And so they create this environment. It's the guy who starts a fire in your backyard. He knocks on your front door selling you a fire extinguisher. Yeah. That's what it is. One more illustration. I don't know what it's like buying a car in New Zealand, but here in America, you have a sticker price. Let's say the car is $50,000. And that's the sticker price. But everybody knows that there's a price. You can get it for $7,000 less. The dealers don't expect anybody to pay the $50,000. They expect you to come in and negotiate.
Hmm.
And really, they just care. They just, somewhere in the middle is fine. And when they find a sucker that comes along and pays the whole $50,000, they're celebrating. They're going, this guy's a real idiot. So they list the price way up here, knowing you're going to argue when all they really want is $3,000 less than what they actually put it for. This is a Hegelian dialectic. It's bringing, as it works out in real life, it's bringing the masses along to a point where they think they're getting what they want. They think they got a good deal when actually you just got railroaded.
Mm.
And they're taking full advantage of you.
Totally. And the thing is, they're using the media as their propaganda arm all over the world. They basically own it, the mainstream media. So you have them pushing whatever the narrative that they want. And then you have the alternative media, like us or whatever, the ones that they don't like, they try and censor and shut up. And then I think they have a bunch of people in this truther alternative media that are really controlled opposition and also producing, you know, insanity. Some of the theories they bring out and the different stuff is just completely off the wall. And so then they can go, look, these idiots over here are spreading disinformation and misinformation. Therefore, we've got to control it. And this is how they get people go, oh, yeah, that's right. That's a complete load of nonsense. So, yeah, maybe we need to control what's said in the social media and whatnot, and it's very clever because then they're able to shut down the people that are telling the real truth.
Oh, absolutely. So, the media is absolutely controlled. I mean, it's pretty hard to not see that. If people can't see that, they're either blind or they're just blind to the truth, or they're just kind of stupid, or they're fully engaged in the opposition. Oh, they're fully engaged in it. But when I look at, okay, from where the platform I'm in is a Bible prophecy, as I mentioned. In that, Tony, like you, I guarantee you there are people in the same arena that are part of the opposition.
Yes.
It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out some of these things. Since the beginning of time, since the beginning of nations, you've always had spies that have gone into enemy territory to pretend to be like them. Well, what on earth would make us in the alternative media think there aren't those that come along, they start their own channels, they got their own spin, they go and they put comments into your comment section, and they have enough of what we believe, they put enough out there to be able to mess with people's heads. And so I think people really need to be alert and discerning to that reality, that does happen. So you got to be very wise as we are walking down this path, because really the only opposition left anymore is the alternative media, because the rest of the media is completely sold out. So whatever they can do to discredit, to get us off our game, whatever they can do, they will do it, and to pull people away also. And I'm sure you see that in comments, people get pulled away. Yes. So, and also another thing, I'm sure you wonder like I do, how long are we in the alternative media going to be able to do this? Because we know they can shut us down. I've experienced it. Yeah. So we know they can. They talk about it. We know what the UN's plans are. I watch the news out of Europe a lot. And here in America, we're told we have freedoms. Well, it seems like every other week we find out one more freedom is gone. We're being sold out to the UN. We're being sold out to the World Health Organization. We'll be sold out to the World Economic Forum. All these globalists for our safety. So how they all say, well, this is for your security. This is, we really care for you guys. We want the best for you. So this is why we're, no, you don't. You want to take away everything that you possibly can from us and completely control us. So we in the alternative media, we're here, but how long will they allow us to, that the window eventually is going to close. But right now, we're going to move forward. Hence why we're coming to New Zealand in February. We're going to move forward. We're going to do everything that we can like you do. We do everything we can. We risk what we risk. And we realize, hey, well, people need to wake up. The good news is some people are waking up that were kind of asleep the last few years.
Yes. And, I was just thinking with what you mentioned about the spies being sold into the community of the alternative media and so on. I think of an analogy this way, like they will tell you a whole lot of truth just to slip in a few lies, a lot of them. But it's like if you have a gallon of water and you drop one drop of Coca-Cola into it, it's suddenly not clear for the whole gallon, and that's how it works. Or poison, you could have a gallon of water and then just a couple of drops of arsenic in it and the whole thing's poisoned. So that's how people need to be able to look at things objectively. And just because somebody tells you a bunch of truth, you still got to be aware that there could be other lies being sold in there deliberately. That's how they capture you.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. It's like you believe enough of what they are saying, enough. Like I said, I base my thoughts about what's going on in the world right now based upon what the Bible says.
Yeah.
And you go back into the Bible, this is what Satan does. Whether or not somebody believes in Satan, the Bible's pretty clear. He attempted to do this to Jesus in a conversation he had with Jesus. You can read about it in the Bible. He didn't lie to Jesus. What he did was attempt to manipulate him, but it's Jesus, so he didn't get manipulated. You go back to the book of Genesis, and you find out the conversation between Satan and Eve, and he throws enough truth out there, but enough doubt, and in the doubt, then interesting here, Tony, he brings in this lie. He said, God didn't really say this, Eve. God knows when you eat of the fruit in the midst of the garden, you will be like God, and you surely won't die. That's what Yuval Noah Harari is saying. We will, if we get a brain augmentation, if we get this stuff implanted into our brains, into our bodies, you won't die. In fact, you will be like God. Your knowledge will be like God. This is what they are telling. Same lie. So there's truth that's in there, which makes people think, well, this sounds good, when there's a trap that is being set. Because that is really, and I also think this, Tony, what we're witnessing now is we're seeing more and more resistance build towards what is going on with the globalists. People are waking up, you know. Many people who bought into the last 4 years are waking up. Many of them are. So we're watching resistance build. I don't know a single person, I haven't met one yet, that says, get rid of my cash, digital currency sounds like a really good idea.
No.
Nobody's going for it. You know, people that are on the left or right, nobody is going for this stuff. They aren't trusting these elite. They aren't trusting the globalists anymore. And then we even see it with, regardless of which side you're on with Israel and Hamas, we have protests breaking out all over the world. And on both sides of the protest, none of them trust the world leaders. None of them do. So we're watching this resistance. And I believe, Tony, this is also part of the plan. They're going to come up. There's going to be another plan that's going to come along, which I believe is being developed right now. They're going to have a leader with a solution. They're setting up their straw man with the Klaus Schwabs and the Bill Gates and all them. And they're going to say, hey, we have the solution. And the world is being set up for it. And it's going to be another lie. It's going to seem so good, but it's going to be a lie. And it's going to be exceptionally deceiving, more than what we've already experienced so far.
Yes, well, you mentioning the globalists and the leaders and the Schwabs and all them. Well, of course, one of them just died at 100 years old.
Yes,
Henry Kissinger.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, and he didn't live long enough to get this brain augmentation and all of those things. But the reality is, see, a lot of people look at people like him and George Soros and say they are the synagogue of Satan. And then they lump the whole of Israel and so on into that. I'm seeing it all the time. It's like so out of balance in comments. Yeah. You know that we've got these people in power and, you know, of that sort of descent. And yet people are now going so far one extreme or the other. I'm noticing that you've got like the totally Israel can do no wrong people, and then you've got the other ones that are saying the whole entire thing needs to be gotten rid of because they're all the synagogue of Satan and so on. And it's just like, here we go again. It's the same thing. There's no balance.
Yeah. So on that, you know, I see the same comments. I get them every day. They're going to be on one side or the other. Yeah. And when it comes to the nation of Israel, listen, I support Israel based upon what the Bible says. And do I believe every Jewish person is perfect? Absolutely not. But I don't believe there's any Gentile person that's perfect either. There's none. In fact, this is why Jesus came. There's no perfect Jew or Gentile. I have Jewish friends. I've been to Israel, I don't know, dozens of times. I'm going to be there in just a few weeks too. Before I come to New Zealand, I'm going there. I'm going to end up going to Gaza. I'm going to be in Israel, both areas. And I have Arab Muslim friends there. I have Jewish friends there. I have both, you know, and the majority of people actually want to get along, but you don't get that when you listen to mainstream media, or even now a lot of the alternative media. You get this impression, no, they all want to kill each other. That's simply not true. You know, I WhatsApp my Jewish friends and my Muslim friends that live in the land. I WhatsApp them all the time, just to see how they're doing, what's going on, and so forth. But the lies that are coming out of the media, and they're all over the media. So with that, so you have George Soros, you have Henry Kissinger, Karl Marx. I mean, I can list a whole bunch of these Jewish leaders who have been very bad. But you know what? I could list a whole bunch of Gentile leaders that have been very bad.
Yes, exactly.
You don't. Yeah, I mean, look at Biden. Look at the guy we got right now, or some of the leaders you've had down under. You look at Canada with Trudeau. You look at the guy. I mean, you start looking around, you're going, they're everywhere.
I'm thinking about another guy that died at 100 years old a few years ago, David Rockefeller. And, you know, people say the whole thing's a Zionist Jewish conspiracy. And it doesn't matter. You can try and spin it that way. But David Rockefeller was not. He did not have any Jewish descent. And yet he was as evil a globalist as he possibly was. And a lot of, you know, power. And so people have got this totally unbalanced view. And yeah, they can look at the Rothschilds and say, they are the ones, you know. And yes, there's a lot of power in the Rothschild family. I believe that you can't say about every single Rothschild, but overall as a family, they're an evil family. And but people have got this, you've got to lump everyone into the same box mentality, which is wrong.
It is wrong. It's totally wrong. You know, and I was talking with one of my friends. She's a anchor on mainstream media, but she's actually really solid. She's one of the very few. And I was talking with her just recently, and she said what they're doing, they're putting all Jews into that category of Soros and, you know, the stuff. Yuval Noah Harari would be another one.
Yes.
Put them all into this category.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting about Harari. His dad was an Orthodox Jew, one of the Haredi, you know, which are very religious. And Haredi himself is completely the opposite, you know, the Haredi community is another dynamic in Israel that's different too. Some are Zionists over there and some are not, which is an interesting dynamic. But you look at, you can't just take and say all Jews are this way and that's what they're doing. And because of these bad leaders. I mean, you look at world history. I had this conversation with somebody just recently. If you look at world history, go all the way, as far back as you possibly can. How many good leaders were there actually? Princes, kings, queens, presidents, prime minister, globally, worldwide, since as far back as you can go. You're going to find out there's almost none. And you know what? Apart from the Jewish ones, all of them were Gentiles. So there's been some exceptionally bad, wicked Gentile leaders there are right now. And they've been throughout history, and we see these things. If people are willing to look at the truth, and also, you know, I mean, there's so many different things I could say about this, but I'll let you ask me another question.
Well, no, you continue. I'm interested in your perspective on it, actually, my mind's ticking over and thinking of all the comments and all this, you know, completely biased one way or the other things that I'm seeing. Which does my head in, to be honest, a lot of it. So I'm just really interested to hear your perspective on it.
Listen, I'll just sum it up like this: all people are bad. You know, there's none of us that are good, and this is why Jesus came. Jew or Gentile, we all need forgiveness of sin, and if we can go with that concept and recognize, look, we all got issues, we all do. And then, you know, if I want to stick with the nation of Israel and what I hear in the media about, you know, it's a genocide against Gaza. Well, what did America do in Afghanistan? You know, what did America do? You know, and you start looking at wars, you know, you start looking at these things, you work them out and you go, well, wait, hundreds of thousands were killed over here. How about what China has been doing to the Muslims? You don't hear anything about the Uyghurs over in China. You don't hear about those things. What have Muslim countries done to their own Muslims? Don't hear anything about that. It's very interesting. So it's singled out. And, you know, and along these lines, Tony, you know, I hear from the media here in America that there should be a proportioned response what Israel has done to what's happening between Israel and Hamas, right? Hamas is a terrorist organization. Yeah. I've been reporting on Hamas for almost 30 years, 25 years. All right, so if you look at it that way, well, Hamas has been launching rockets into Israel since 2005. In fact, just this past May, I was down there on the border of Gaza, just checking things out, doing some filming, and I'm getting ready to order a falafel, and all of a sudden a rocket shoots overhead, and the Iron Dome intercepted it, and we're sitting there, and, you know, my wife ran into a bomb shelter. You know, all these things are going on. I've been there, and right on the border of Gaza, I was in Sderot, And it's all these Arab workers working in the homes. You know, it's not what the media is portraying. But if you want proportioned response, as Hamas and Islamic Jihad and other organizations have been launching rockets into Israel since 2005, well, proportioned response indiscriminately, by the way, wherever they land, right? Whether they land at a bus station or whatever, well, then Israel should have been launching for every one rocket that came into Israel. Israel should have launched a rocket back. Israel never did that. Mm. Never since 2005. When you look at what has happened with prior to 2005, and you recognize, well, wait a minute, terrorists have been going into Israel for decades and blowing up bombs at wedding ceremonies, restaurants, bus stops, just doing whatever. I saw an attack in Jerusalem just the other day that took place from some terrorists that pulled up to a bus stop, got out with guns, and just started shooting everybody indiscriminately. Doesn't matter. Israel's never gone into Gaza and blown up weddings. You know, they've never done that. When Hamas came over and into the Israeli neighborhoods, the kibbutz, kibbutzim, when they came over there, they cut off babies' heads. They put babies in ovens. You know, well, then a proportionate response would be Israel should go and do the same thing. No, that's insane. Israel doesn't do that sort of thing. And then the lies that the media has out there are just, they're just absolutely awful. And by the way, this is a warning shot. I don't know what the laws are in New Zealand or Australia, but I know here in America, you have the Second Amendment. You have the right to bear arms. In Israel, what happened was in the areas where Hamas, the housing areas that they went into, the kibbutzim, they're basically the people who live there. They're all along the Gaza border. If anybody looks at the map, you'll see they're all along the Gaza border. These are predominantly people, they were known as peaceniks, where they didn't believe in weapons. They just wanted to do a group. They just wanted everybody to get along. Let's do a big group hug together and just get along. And so they were unarmed. The concert that was hit by Hamas, it was a gun-free zone. So the Hamas picked the softest targets that they possibly could. And these were the people they actually took out were the people who believed in Islam. I mean, they were Jewish people, but they believed that we can get along. Mm-hmm. Let's just, they weren't supporters of guns or any of that stuff. You look, you go, well, very interesting. So they went after very soft targets, which I believe in America, we hear this all the time. We have, you have universities, gun-free zones, Starbucks gun-free zones, all this kind of stuff here in America. Well, you guys are just setting yourself up for to say, hey, come and get us. We don't protect ourselves. And that's what actually one of the many things that happened in Israel. Many things went wrong. Many things weren't handled right. I'm not saying every person in the Israeli government is good, because I do not believe they are, and I have my own opinion on that. There's some bad people in there, but we look at where we are, it should be an eye opener for everybody.
The thing is, I see comments where people saying it's not the Muslims' fault, it's the Jews' fault. Everything is, and they blame. But I got to ask, you ask those people then. So who runs around saying Allahu Akbar and cutting off people's heads or shooting people? It's not Hindus, it's not Buddhists, it's not Christians, it's not Jews. There's one religion that does it. And if you were to write a book against it or say anything about the Quran, you get a death sentence. No other religions don't do that. You can write a book that says Christianity's wrong and no one's going to do anything, or that Judaism's wrong, or, Buddhism or Hinduism or whatever else, but you can't do it against Islam. It's like a death sentence. And then you look at countries. You look at Beirut, for example. Before it was all fully Islamic, it had a culture of cafes, and it was a thriving place. And of course, as soon as you get the Islamic takeover, now look at what Beirut's like. So do we want to live under that? Do Americans want to live under that? Do New Zealanders want to live under that? And yet you're getting these people suddenly thinking, oh, this is a great religion they want to, you know, become part of. It's like, this is so, like, people have lost their minds in a way in terms of looking at things objectively.
Oh, totally. You know, you mentioned Beirut. So you look at all of Lebanon, you can look at Turkey, mm-hmm. Iran, aka Persia. Yeah. You start looking and going, wait a minute, there was a time when they were wonderful places to go.
Yeah.
Turkey, not that long ago. Mm-hmm. In fact, I was in Turkey, southern Turkey, on a tour 2018. I'm going to tell you something, I met some of the most wonderful people there. Really, mm-hmm. I mean, it was great. Now, granted, we weren't near Istanbul, and there were some problems in Istanbul at the time. But people, when you look at the media, we don't understand that dynamic. And when you get this Islamic takeover, it's going to go the direction that you just mentioned. Every time it's going to go that way. Mm-hmm. This is real. These are real numbers. So as Israel is accused of genocide and ethnic cleansing, if people will think about this, these are facts. You know, people can fact check this. So this is the Jewish population 1948 versus 2023. In Egypt in 1948, there were 63,550 Jews. Today, there's 3 Jews living in Egypt. Wow. Syria, 1948, 40,000 Jews. Today in Syria, 0 Jews. And the list just goes on and on like this. It's huge. Okay, here's the opposite. Arabs in Israel, 1948, 156,000. Arabs in Israel today, 2,100,000. Same thing with Gaza. Arabs in Gaza in 1940, 80,000. Arabs in Gaza today, 2 million. And so we look at these numbers and go, wait a minute, this isn't ethnic cleansing. Mm. You know, I've been to Israel dozens of times. And there's areas where Jews can't go in Israel or shouldn't go. Bethlehem would be one of them. I mean, I can name all sorts of them. Bethlehem is considered part of Judea, Samaria, or what the UN calls the West Bank. All right, fair enough. Go to Nazareth, which is not in the West Bank. A Jew is risking serious consequences if they're in Nazareth, although it's in Israel, the Galilee portion of Israel. You look, you go, but Jews, you know, so you realize, and the Arab population is exploding there in Israel. It's not apartheid. It's not ethnic cleansing, although the lies are done that way. And now as we look at what's happened in Europe, because of their open border policy, which I believe the same thing is happening in America, we have open borders in America, and you have Mexicans coming across the border, but the Mexicans aren't the real threat. The real threat is under the cover of the Mexicans, mm-hmm. we have these radical Muslims that are coming across the border into America, and the government knows it. Last year alone, 1.7 million people came into America through the southern border, and they're called gotaways. The government doesn't know where they are or even who mm-hmm. they are. 1.7 million. How many of them came under the cover of people thinking they're Mexican, but they're actually Muslim? And they 1.7 million. And in Europe, we're finally watching major pushback in Europe because they're realizing, hey, look what they've done in France. Look what they're doing in Italy. Look what they're doing all over Europe, anywhere where they've had open borders and allowed Muslims to come in there under the lie. By the way, a lot of this has been under the lie of climate change. Mm. Have you noticed that, Tony? Yeah. It's yeah. Okay. So they can't live. If I'm talking too much, let me know. I'll stop. But they can't. So this is such a lie. They say, okay, the climate where they're coming from, the Muslim countries, is so bad, they're all going to die. So they got to go to Europe. Well, Israel lives in that climate. Why aren't they fleeing over to Europe? Right. Okay, I live in an almost identical climate to that of the Mideast and those Arab dry desert regions. Hmm. Almost identical to it. Me and people all around me, we live pretty, it's nice. We don't have to flee. We don't have to flee somewhere else. I mean, these things are absolute lies propagated by the globalists, the Henry Kissingers, you know? Yeah. These are the people that are lying and lying. Klaus Schwab's, they're such liars.
Yeah.
And they're cramming everything down everybody's throat. And unfortunately, a lot of people actually believe these things.
You know, the thing is that Islamic people that migrate into different countries and so on, they have no intention of assimilating, because once they're there, they claim it for Allah. But anyway, I'm thinking about Gaza and other parts in that area, and not just the Jews and Muslims, but what about Christians? How many Christians there were in those areas you mentioned, like Bethlehem and all that at one point? Now there's hardly any left, because yep. they've been cleaned out by the Muslims as well.
Real Christians, right?
Yeah.
So there is a difference. I was in Bethlehem twice in the past year. I went to visit Bethlehem. And very interesting, when I was just there in May, met this gentleman. You know, at first you don't know, you can't tell the difference. By the way, this is another thing that is propagated in the Western media, that the Jews over in Israel, they're all white. They're all white, right? As white as you can get. Well, actually, when you get over there, you find out, no, a certain sect of the Jews are, but you start finding out it's all Semitic. Christian, Jew, Muslim, dark hair, dark eyes, dark skin. You really can't tell them apart unless you start having a conversation with them, listening to the language and hearing what they actually say. So we're in Bethlehem in May, it was, and there's this gentleman that we met showing the group around, because you have to have people around there with you, you know, so you get connected real quick when you go into an area like Bethlehem, because Bethlehem can be pretty rough. It'd be real rough, and you know, you're not going to be Jew and live there. So this person's telling us, okay, they're a Christian, and he said, I cannot tell anybody here I'm a Christian. That's the reality of it. All right, so that was May. Oh gosh, I've been to Bethlehem three times lately. Okay, there's we went to Bethlehem another time, and we go to this restaurant. And again, you can't tell people apart by their skin color, hair color, any of that. Everybody looks the same. And we go to this restaurant, and we get the story on it, and it was really cool. They opened it up just for us. It was a group of 10 of us. We were filming, and the owner's there. So he opened it up. He knew the person who was leading us. And turns out the owner's Christian. Had a great conversation with him. And he, in a beautiful facility, he said his restaurant was burnt down. That was right next door. The Muslims burned it down because he was Christian. And then people in the community got together and helped him to build this other restaurant. Because it doesn't cost as much to build there as it does here. But you look, you go, he couldn't own a restaurant because he is Christian in Bethlehem. They burned it down. Mm-hmm. I mean, you never hear about that. In fact, what I hear coming out of Bethlehem about the Christians in Bethlehem is exactly the opposite. But these are fake Christians. There's a lot of fake Christians out there. And they'll say the Jews are the evil ones. When, look, you look at the jobs. The Muslims know over there they're going to get paid better if they go work for the companies. The Jewish-owned companies are going to get paid better. They're going to have good wages. I tell you, Tony, I've met so many Muslims over there that have been fantastic, just fantastic. My wife and I were talking about some of them this morning. I'm looking forward to seeing them, hoping I will be able to, because there's so many problems are created by right now, way more by the media than anything else. That I'm just hoping to see them. Like I said, I am on WhatsApp with a lot of them, but others I'm not on WhatsApp with, and I just want to go see them, give them a hug, and say, man, great to see you. Great to see you here, working here, a good paying job. Mm-hmm. You know, the apartheid and the lies of genocide are just unbelievable, but they're everywhere, you know. Mm-hmm. People tell a lie, it travels all around the world.
Yeah. Okay, so we better look to wrap up anyway, but so maybe you could tell the listeners where they find you, Tom, online. How do they find you?
Easiest way is my website, hopeforourtimes.com. I have a YouTube with the same name, Hope for Our Times. You can check it out, hopeforourtimes.com. And we'll be looking forward to being there in Auckland in February, February 5, I believe it is. It's going to be great.
Yeah, and people can find out about that on your website too, can they?
Yes, it's there. Yep.
Great. Okay, yep. So yes, and no doubt we'll fill people in a little bit more details as we get closer to that conference as well, and with the other speakers and so on. Well, anyway, it was great to talk to you today, Tom, and let's do it again. Let's make it great. Not just a one-off.
That'd be great. Tony, it was great to meet you like this. Fantastic. And thanks, everybody, for listening to me. Hey, if you don't agree with me, well, that's all right, but I like to have open dialogue, not just arguments.
That sounds great. Well, thanks very much.
All right.
Tom.
Okay. Cheers. All right. Bye. Thanks, Tony.
Also, folks, remember our website is aminutetomidnight.com. Please make sure you subscribe to us there. And we also run A Minute to Midnight 100% by donations. And as I always do, I like to say a big thank you to the people that donate to us. And if anyone else wants to, you can donate at aminutetomidnight.com. And finally, the music used is music I've written, played, and recorded. If you want to download any instrumental music of mine, you can find quite a bit of it at our website as well. So God bless, and God willing, we'll be back soon with another video.